for us being called, it's far more odds than winning the lottery. And is what we tend to forget sometimes is that it is a high calling, very high calling. God picked us out of all of the nations of people and all the numbers of people, picked us out and has called us out for different reasons and different purposes to do his work now and also in the world tomorrow. And we need to remember and remind ourselves that it is a high calling. He has called us out to learn his truth and to do the job that Mr. Vernish was talking about there in Matthew 24, the commission of going and spreading the good news of God's coming kingdom around the world to the ends of the world, and then the end will come. And we are also in the process, of course, preparing a people. But the first thing that we have to keep our minds focused on is spreading the good news of God's coming kingdom. And we should have no other gods before us. We don't want to think of anything that could come between us and the one that created us. We need to keep these things in mind. And then, of course, Jesus commanded us that we are to love one another. Love one another, which Coleman was bringing out in the sermonette there as well, too. And in this process, preparing the people. We have brothers and sisters in Christ right here in this room that need our love and our care and our concern. And we should love them as much as we love ourselves. We're in this process of conversion, changing, and we need to help one another and love one another in helping one another in this process that God has called us to. We know we are human, and we know that how human nature can be. With a little push and a little encouragement from Satan, we can start thinking on our own desires and not on others, or not on God's desires or his will. And, you know, we tend to put the reason why we were called on the back burner. I was glad to hear Mr. Vernish talk about, you know, we need to take these good news magazines, like JR has been doing, you know, and drop them off places to plant the seeds so that God can do the calling of different people yet. He isn't done yet. He is still calling people. But through our human nature, we can tend to put that on the back burner, and we got to be careful not to put anything ahead of our Father or God in heaven. We don't want to break the first commandment. We need to put on the whole armor of God 24 hours a day because Satan is there to find a crack in it, trying his best to do that. And as we know, Satan is making a massive attack right now on the ministry and on the congregations as well, on both. Let me first preface this sermon that the ministers who stayed with United and the ministers who left, they are all our brothers in Christ. And we need to love and pray for all of them, wherever they are. And as we know, you know, Satan is doing this, this attack, and we are to be tested. God is allowing this to happen because we are to be tested. God has to know how we are doing. You don't have to turn there, but jot this down in Mark 14, verses 26 and 27. And also Zechariah 13, that would be verses 7 through 9. They both basically say the same thing, that strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. You know, there are many in the congregation, and we're all at different levels of conversion. And when they look up and see that the shepherd, you know, has been distracted or runs off or leaves or whatever, not judging anybody, but, you know, for whatever reason, the little ones that are left behind are the ones that can suffer. And we have to keep each other in mind. When Jesus said we are to love one another, we are to love one another as ourselves and leave no one behind. We want to help everyone to understand God's truth and to make it into God's coming kingdom. We are all at different levels. You know, Satan does work like a wolf. When a wolf comes on a herd of sheep, he will distract the shepherd. And when the sheep see that they can't depend on that shepherd, they run in all directions. And then the wolf can get the strays that are off by themselves, those that didn't stay with the herd. You know, back in our former association, back in Worldwide Church of God years ago, I remember over in Memphis, over there we had roughly 700 members over there. And over in Knoxville, we had an AM and PM over there, and between the two, they had about 700 people. And then when the split came, the numbers drastically dropped. Right now, there's probably 9 or 10 people over in the western part of Tennessee. I'm not sure about right there in Memphis, but and then over in Knoxville, we have probably less than 40 people. These people that used to attend, they're somewhere in the woodwork. They are out there, and it's possible that through the public meetings program that we're going to be having across this country, we were in Cincinnati, week before last, I guess it was, and Mr. Luker mentioned about the public meetings that the church are going to be trying. Maybe we can reach some of these people that are in the woodwork, so to speak, and bring them back into the fold. We need to pray for these people as well, too. And there are very, very important lessons we need to learn through this whole process. Let's remember that, you know, Satan can only do what God allows him to do. And God is allowing him to test us. You know, just like when Satan went to God about Job, you know, just let me test him, let me try him, you know, and you can see what he's like. Well, God, you know, is allowing this to come on us. I think we're in the gun lap, so to speak, the way prophecy is rolling along and the way things are happening. The pressure is coming on. God wants to see what we're made of. He wants to see how strong we are, because we know that our Father, our God in heaven, right now is picking the bride for his Son, Jesus the Christ. Picking the bride. And the ministry is being tested to see if they can be trusted. The congregations are being tested to see if they can be trusted. Before God changes us from physical to a spirit being, he has to know if he can trust us enough with that kind of a change. Spirit beings live forever. He has to know us inside and out. And only those who are putting God first in their lives and doing the will of God, living by his truth, by his commandments, will make up the bride. Only those will be amongst that group. And the group, I'm afraid, is going to be small. Going to be a small group. We heard Mr. Armstrong many, many years ago say, you know, these people just don't get it. You know, I think 50%, you know, is not converted. And then he even brought the number down even below that. It's going to be a very, very small number. God has to know who we are if we can be amongst that group that he will change into a spirit being. And in this process, this testing that God is allowing Satan to do, the church is being divided. There are some that are being left out on the fringes that are going to have to fend for themselves. And we can hope and pray that God will give us the men to do the work. And also the projects like we're talking about here about the public meetings programs and things that we can do to reach these people and to help them out. Because God, you know, he does not want the little ones hurt. The young ones that are in the faith. Let's turn over to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Let's read verse 6. Matthew 18. Jesus is speaking. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Let's drop down to verse 10. Verse 10 there. Jesus still speaking there. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven, their angels, T-H-E-I-R, their angels, God has angels looking out for each of us. Their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. A full report is being done constantly to the Father of what is happening. And we know that Jesus did command us to love one another. And that means really from the heart. That's just not saying, well, you know, hey, I love you. Yeah, yeah. And smile real big and go on. No, it has to be from the heart to truly love someone as you would love yourself. Think of them. Are they doing without? Are they hurting? Do they need your prayers? Do they need your help? When one part of the body hurts, we all hurt. And God has called each of us for different parts of the body. Some are called to be shepherds, to shepherd the flock. Some are called just to pray. Some are called to have good jobs and to help with the tithing. And for various reasons, God puts every part of the body in the place where it should be. And is one part better than the other? No. We are all called to do a job for the glory of God, not for our own glory, for the glory of God. And again, God has called us all to be tested in whatever job he gives us. There's not a job that we have in this physical life that we're not tested. Our bosses want to know what we can do. They just don't pay us a paycheck and say, yeah, I can trust him to do this or do that. We are tested, you know, even from our regular bosses, of course. God is testing us. He wants to know our hearts. He wants to know if we're going to be consistent all the way through or we're going to give up halfway through. And so, well, you know, I just can't hack this. Or maybe I'm not good enough. Well, if we think we're not good enough, well, then that ruins the blood that Jesus spilled for our sins. He paid the price for all of our sins. He is the only one. And what does God tell us to do? Because we got Satan, who is very, very cunning, and he is speaking through the airwaves to the ministers and to each of us in the congregations. He is distracting the ministers. He is promoting hate amongst brothers in the ministry. A lot of bad things were said. Let's hope it wasn't from the heart. Let's pray that it wasn't from the heart. But God tells us to be totally honest with a pure heart, keeping the commandments, and again, to love one another. Have a pure heart. Each of us are sinners. We have to get on our knees constantly, every day, get on our knees and pray to God to help us to overcome all the shortcomings that we have all day long and all the sins that we commit. We want God to be merciful to us, and we need to be merciful to others as well, too. If we have a problem with someone or don't understand what they meant or what they were talking about, we are to go to him or her. We are to go to them and work out the problem with love and use the instructions that God gave us to do. None of us are perfect. None of us can point the finger at someone else. None of us can say, well, hey, you know, I'm glad I'm not as bad as that guy over there. All of us are sinners, and we need God's help to show us how to repent of our sins and to overcome them and to really mean it from the heart. And if we are truly living with love, we will be a light to the world as we should be. And for those that God will call, those are the ones that he is still calling and reaching out for, and those that he wants to bring back out of the woodwork. We must be ready to be that light. to show that example, to be ready there with open arms to help them. We must be ready to accept them with love and help them with the hope that is in us. People are looking for hope. Times are tough. Times are going to get tougher. All across the world, around the world, things are getting tougher. It's like Muammar Gaddafi right now is having his military to shoot his own people. We haven't got it that bad in this country yet, but it could be. People are looking for hope, wondering where they're going to get food, water, things of that nature. We have to be ready with that hope that is in us to let them know that God will take care of us if we are depending on Him. And to show that love, and hope is the building block for somebody to come along that is new, that is trying to learn about God. But they need that hope along the way from us. And shedding that light is what we need to be doing. Again, God is picking the bride for His Son. And again, I'm afraid that number is going to be extremely small compared to the numbers that are around the world. We must ask ourselves, and a direct question to ourselves, and really be honest with ourselves. Am I living by the will of God, or am I seeking my own will? We need to ask ourselves that question, point blank. And the answer to that question will determine if we will be in the family of God and have eternal life. Because if we are not living by the will of God, we had better get straightened out real quick. Better start thinking about it. We are called for a purpose, for a reason. We are being judged right now. Let's turn over to John 15. John 15. John 15, and let's start in verse 14 through 17. You are my friends, Jesus speaking. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. He only exposed to those who are called what his Father revealed to him, and he is revealing that to us. We are servants, and we should have the heart of a servant to always be ready to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. But he goes further. He calls us friends. He is revealing to us God's master plan for salvation, to be able to live forever in their family. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Growth is what he's looking for. Growth in being, letting yourself go to depend on him, to trust what God says. Don't depend on ourselves. Grow in the grace and knowledge that God is teaching us, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. The only thing, of course, that can separate us from God to where he won't hear our prayers is sin. Need to repent daily. Get sin out of our lives and work hard at it. Work extremely hard at it because our life depends on it. And what a blessing it is. Our Father does not lie. The Father, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. What a wonderful, wonderful message to hear. Verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. That is the hope in the building block that we all need to be building ourselves on, having love for one another. regardless of who they are, regardless of what they have done or what they are doing. We are to love one another. These are humans that God has created and has called to know his truth. Jesus did command us to love one another, and that does not only mean when things are going our way. It also means when we have disagreements. And God is watching how we handle each of the disagreements. Are we in a competition to see if we can out-argue with someone? Are we in a competition that we have to win? You know, this country is based on sports. Competition sports. That at whatever cost, win. Put your heart and soul into, if we would put our heart and soul into loving each other with that same measure, just think how wonderful that would be. So God is taking a look at how we handle disagreements with each other. Are we going to our brother or sister with love? Or are we going to try to win in every way we can, which creates hate? We need to think about these things. We need to work on them. We need to clean ourselves up. And that's not just for the Passover that is coming up very shortly here. We are to do it, of course, then, before we come in and take the Passover, to really have a good examination of ourselves. But all year round, every day, we must be cleaning ourselves up and working on this horrible self that has been so distorted over the years since we have been born. You know, most disagreements come from a lack of communication. My wife, Pat, can tell you, when our kids were little, the main thing that I tried to teach them was communication so that they could do well in school, so that they could be able to explain what they wanted to talk about, and also how they could hear things. Communication is high on the list in learning about God's truth. And it's very high on the list of communicating with one another so that we don't have disagreements, so that we know exactly what the other one is speaking, what the other one is saying. When we speak, we must all try to be crystal clear. Remember Spokesman Club years ago? We had to do a crystal clear speech. I know Fred Keller's back there remembers that. We need to be working on that to be able to speak clearly. And then probably more important than speaking, we need to learn how to listen, which is probably the hardest one for me to do. I enjoy talking. On my job, I get paid for talking. And I need to learn better how to listen, to know exactly what the other person's feelings are, what their desires are, and what I can do to help them. Need to pray for one another about that. That is one of the hardest things that we can do. But getting back to loving one another, let's keep in mind that loving each other is far more than the disagreements or any advantage that we could get from a disagreement could ever be. God's called us to be brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters that will eventually be brothers and sisters in God's family. And to live forever. And who knows what wonderful, wonderful jobs that we are going to be working together on through eternity. We need to be thinking about that. Let's turn to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Matthew 18, and let's read verses 15 through 17. Matthew 18. 15 through 17, Jesus again speaking. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. You know, just you don't have to be out there broadcasting, trying to get sympathy from somebody else. But go to him or her alone, and if he or she hears you, you have gained a brother or a sister. But if not, If he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established, may be understood. maybe clarified to what was actually being said. Then verse 17, and if he refuses to hear them, then tell the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen or a tax collector. You know, Matthew was a tax collector. The IRS are tax collectors. They're not thought of very well. And in some countries, tax collectors, of course, will just look at somebody and say, okay, I'm going to charge you this amount of tax, just to, at their own will, to do things. So they do have a bad name, I guess, down through the ages as being a tax collector. But, you know, when a person is in that state of mind to where they will not hear you, and they won't hear your brothers and sisters, and they won't even listen to the church, refuses to hear the church, then we have to set them apart. Have to set them apart. I'm just gonna paraphrase. You can just jot these down in order to save a little bit of time here. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 6 through 8. And then also 1 Corinthians 5 is where most of this comes out of. But in Paul's first letter, Paul addressed the issue of immorality that was going on in Corinth. And he told the Corinthians, Christians there, to remove the offending person from the fellowship in order to save him. Let him get off by himself. Let him think about this a little bit. Let him get his head cleared out. Let his temper cool down. Then after some time has gone by, the man had repented, and Paul told the church, he says, you know, the punishment which was inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man, and you should forgive and comfort him. You know, if he has shown repentance of what he has done, we should show comfort and forgive him of what he has done, lest he be swallowed up by too much sorrow. You know, we could turn our backs on people, and we could lose them forever. Somebody that God has called and is going through some rough times that needs our comfort and our forgiveness, and that light that I was talking about that we should be shining should show through. That we can be a help to a brother or a sister. In the body of Christ, there has to be a place for forgiveness. If we just shout out to somebody, repent, and not be willing to forgive them, then we are wrong. We are becoming a judge then, if we are not willing to forgive them when we shout out and say, you know, hey, you need to repent, guy, and you know, and then just be on our way about it. There has to be a place for restoring someone back into the fellowship. When a person has sinned, it is tragic. It's tragic for anybody to sin, for any of us to do that. We need to back up, get our head on straight, think what the will of God is, think what the price that Jesus paid to cover our sins. It's a tragic thing when a person sins. And if they continue to sin, it is necessary to separate them. If they continue to sin. But when there is confession of sin and repentance, the person has to be restored back into the fellowship, into the body of Christ. Unfortunately, there are some of us that will take a harsher attitude and want to cut them off forever. If we do that, we become a judge. We are wrong. But we need to keep in mind, whatever judgment that we put on someone else, we will be judged with exactly the same. Keep that in mind. Keep that very much in mind before we start flapping our mouth and, you know, talking about someone else's sins. Keep that in mind. Whatever judgment that we inflict on someone else, we will be judged with the same. And we are all fallible. Don't think, well, oh, yeah, you know, I've read the Bible frontwards and backwards, and I know this and I know that. You know, I'm pretty cool. I'm safe. Wrong. That's usually the first ones that fall. This is something that we have to work on constantly every day because we are fallible. We know our Father, our God in heaven, is all powerful. And we really don't even have the words to even express just how powerful God is. We do know that, he took some dust from the ground and created the first man. And through the process of this physical life, we're here. We can think, we can talk of the one, and it's because of the wonderful miracles and the power of our Heavenly Father that we're even here. He performs miracles constantly. You know, I hear people on the TV, on the news, they'll say, back when God used to perform miracles, that was centuries and centuries ago. What they don't realize is that every second of every day, God is performing miracles. All of us in here are only one heartbeat away from being dead. It's a miracle that each of us are alive. Of course, God knows the number of days that each of us has. He knows that already. He is performing miracles constantly. We need to keep in perspective in our minds the power of God and how wonderful He is, and that we are not smart enough to even take care of ourselves. We have to depend on God, and we should depend on God. That's what He wants us to do. We are His children, no matter if we're 105. We are His children. He wants us to depend on Him constantly. God performs these miracles, and He sends His angels to rescue us from all kinds of dangers. You could be driving in a tornado someplace, and God can save you from it. On the news last night, they were showing some pictures of the tornado that came through. And I heard several people where trees had fallen on their houses. And this one lady said, I was in the bedroom. And she says, I heard the noise of the storm. So she said, I got up, walked to the living room, and then the tree fell into her bedroom, crushed the entire bedroom there. And she said, thank God. She says, a God was looking out for me. And He was. Sure was. God can take a bad situation and turn it into something wonderful for each of us. I'm going to paraphrase a little bit here about the story of Joseph. It's too long to be read all the way through, but I'm going to paraphrase a little bit of it, how God can take a bad situation and turn it into something really wonderful and great. The story is how the Eternal created a nation out of a troubled family. Very troubled family. If you think back on the story, Jacob's family was plagued by jealousy. We can still see some of that in the church today as well, too. That is for sure. But Rachel envied Leah, and Leah envied Rachel. You can just jot down Genesis 30. And Leah's sons inherited the same pattern of jealousy. They envied Joseph so much that they sold him as a slave, and we read that in Genesis 37. So jealous of him that they sold him as a slave. Also, the family was separating. Sound familiar? Families do separate, as they do in God's church occasionally. After Joseph was sold into slavery, Judah left the family and associated with the Canaanites and married a Canaanite woman. We know that in Genesis 38. And then Simeon followed Judah's lead by taking a Canaanite wife in Genesis 46. With these jealousies and divisions in the family, Jacob's family, the family that God's eternal promises were to, we know that from Genesis 12, was becoming more and more like the pagan Canaanite community that was all around them. I mean, they were dividing, they were jealous of each other, they were fighting. A family that was so dysfunctional, but still in all, that they were the family that God's promises were going to come through. A bad situation. Bad situation there with the family fighting and dividing. But God did not let the troubles of this family stop him from what he had planned. God is all powerful. We know that. Our Father had promised to shape a great nation from them that would spread his blessings to the whole earth. Jacob's family was divided, but God worked it out and caused the family to be reunited. And how did he do that? Through a series of miracles. God is in charge. He is all powerful. God elevated Joseph from the position of slave to administer of Egypt. He became Pharaoh's right-hand man. That was a miracle in itself. Coming from being a slave all the way to being Pharaoh's right-hand man. God took the evil plans of Joseph's brothers and turned them into something good in this whole process. You know the story. You've read it over and over. But God allowed a famine to come over the land. God gave Joseph the wisdom of how to save many people from starvation. This brought the family back together again, as you know in the story. Brought them back together. God allowed a famine to come over the land. And Joseph could witness through this process, he could witness to the people about the power of our living God, our Father, our God in heaven. And we know that from Genesis 41. But through a series of miracles, God is bringing me and you to become members of his family. Don't think, well, you know, these miracles only happen to other people. Mm-mm. God is working with each of us right now. Like I said, you know, the odds of this happening to anybody, you know, the lottery would be nothing. God has picked us out, chose us, and it's a high calling, extremely high calling, that we had better wrap our arms around and understand that our Father, our God in heaven, has called us to know this. God used the physical hardship of a famine to reunite Israel's family, and you know the rest of the story. We could be having some famines in this country as well. They're having famines in other parts of the country, world right now. People are starving. People are going to be running in groups from house to house, trying to see if you have any food in your house. That could happen in the very near future. Gasoline goes beyond us buying it, or if it is withheld from us, from these nations that are being taken over by the Muslim Brotherhood right now. They could hold it over our heads. There was a deal made a long time ago why we do not drill for oil in our country. I understand it was done by Mr. Kissinger. He made a deal with them over there that said, you know, we will buy all of our oil and gas from you, or most of it. But they could take that right now. By the time it would take us to drill for it, there'd be a lot of people that would go by the wayside. Our economy would be gone. The dollar is shrinking as we speak. The real currency of the world right now is oil. Some people think it's gold. No, it's not. It is oil. A lot of things are happening. We have to be staying close to God, our Father in heaven, in order for us to be blessed. God said he would see us through. If we're depending on him, if he is for us, as Mr. Keller's always reads at a baptism, who could be against us? Who could be against us? All through the story of Joseph and today, God keeps his promises that he made to Abraham. God created a great nation out of Jacob's family through a maze of human jealousies and family divisions. God still worked it out. His plan did not change. But his miracles is what brought it through. Satan is attacking God's church today. Satan knows that he has but a little time. He has already been judged. It's all over for him. He knows what the end is for him. He knows he's going to be put in outer darkness. And we are the called out ones. And again, we are being judged right now. God has to know if he can trust us enough to be in his family. We are being judged right now. Satan's already been judged. But we are being judged right now. What are we doing with the knowledge that God is giving us right now? Are we putting it to action in our lives? Are we changing? Human nature is a hard battle to fight, but with God's Holy Spirit, we win. We can do it. We can depend on him. We're going to fail every day. We're going to fall down every day. But God wants us to go to him and say, look, I'm claiming the blood of Jesus Christ. He paid the price for all of our sins. Help me to repent of my sins. Get me back on track. That's our prayer every day that we should be delivering. We must be tested. That's why God has allowed this attack to come on the ministry and the congregations. Again, God is determining who the bride of Christ will be. He has to know about us. We have to be overcomers. Overcome sins in our life for the rest of our life. Not just say, well, hey, boy, I made that. I'm an overcomer. You have to do it daily. Be an overcomer daily till the day that you can no longer think. Again, we must pray for all of the ministry and the sheep. We got to pray for the shepherds no matter where they are. God called them and gave them his truth. Satan can sift ministers and shepherds as well as anybody else. We are humans. We're all humans. We are all fallible. We must pray for everyone. We can't choose sides. There are no sides. These are our brothers in Christ. And we know that the ministry has a harsher judgment because they are shepherds. They are called out to be shepherds. That's the part of the body that they were called out to be. And each of us are called out to do what God called us to do. And we need to wrap our arms around whatever God has called us to do and do it with all of our might. We need to think about that very strongly. But again, we need to pray for the ministry, the shepherds that God has called. Let's turn back to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, not too far back here. Jeremiah 23, like I said, you know, the shepherds are judged more harshly because that's what they were trained and called to do. Jeremiah 23, verses 1 through 4. Let's read that. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, against the shepherds who feed my people, you have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil of your doings, says the Lord. But I will gather the remnant, those who are left after they've been scattered here and there or wherever. I will gather the remnant of my flock out of the countries where they have, where I have driven them, and bring them back to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. They will be blessed. The remnant, those who are left. Verse 4, I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord. Through the miracles of God, through His power, through His wisdom, all of us had better be thinking about the part of the body that God has called us to be a part of, no matter what that job is. Each one is important. We need to pray for the ministry. The shepherds, they are judged more harshly because they have been given the job to feed the flocks. Let's pray in closing. Let's pray that those that God have called to be shepherds will remain good shepherds. And those who are not good shepherds, that they will repent of their sins. And they will want to love as they should love and should shine the light that God wants us all to shine to everyone else. You know, it might take the tribulation to save some of us, whether in the ministry or out of the ministry that God has called us to, and maybe we haven't done as good a job as we should in cleansing our minds and fighting the battle as we should fight, depending on God to give us the help that we need, living by the will of God instead of our own, and showing that love that we need to show. Some of us may have to go through the tribulation to save us. If so, so be it. Eternal life is so precious. What a wonderful, wonderful gift that our Father is trying to give to us, wants to give to us, doesn't want any of us to fail, wants us all to be merciful and love each other. Let's pray that through the miracles of God, and I think when the times get even harder, things get tougher. Food is hard to find. Places to live are hard to find. It's hard to stay warm in the wintertime. That through maybe some trials like that, that we will pray a little bit harder maybe. But through the miracles of God, let's pray that God will bring us all back together again.